Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going back a bit, looking at a really crucial document.
Yeah, we're digging into the Western Cape Climate Change Response Strategy's first biennial monitoring and evaluation report, the one from 2015-16.
Right, so this was the first proper check-in on their 2014 strategy, the WCCCRS.
Yeah.
And our mission really is just to unpack what this baseline report showed about the province's climate readiness then.
Exactly. Think of it as the province reviewing its own blueprint for climate action. It had, well, five main aims.
Okay.
Coordinating all the information scattered around, identifying the gaps, trying to raise the urgency level.
Which seems pretty important given the context.
Definitely. Also plotting trends and risks and trying to influence planning across different government sectors. But yeah, the context they set is pretty stark.
It really is. The report doesn't pull punches. It states right at the start that globally, climate responses just weren't cutting it.
No, and that climate change was tracking along a worst-case scenario. That's pretty alarming language for an official report.
It is, and it brings it home, too, talking about South Africa specifically.
Right. Projecting an average temperature jump of 1.5 to 3 degrees Celsius by 2050.
Wow.
And this chilling stat, 90% of global disasters recorded were already climate-related back then. The Western Cape being, you know, the most disaster-prone province in SA.
Okay, so against that backdrop, the strategy itself, the WCCCRS, had a broad scope. 9 focus areas.
Yeah, 9. Covering things like energy efficiency, renewables, the built environment.
Sustainable transport, water security.
Biodiversity, coastal management, food security, and even healthy communities. So really broad.
It touches almost everything. And it highlights that dual focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mitigation and adaptation.
Precisely. So on one hand, trying to cut greenhouse gas emissions, that's the mitigation part, contributing globally. On the other, adapting to the impacts we can't avoid.
Because they were already happening.
They were. And a key finding really was this imbalance. Mitigation often had clearer targets, maybe easier metrics. Adaptation, it was lagging severely in terms of actionable ways to measure progress for protecting people and places.
And that adaptation need becomes crystal clear when you look at the costs. The economic reality section is, well, it's quite something.
Oh, definitely. The standout figure, I think, is the cost of just reacting. Between 2003 and 2014, climate-related extreme events cost the province our 5 billion.
5 billion rand.
Yeah.
Just in that decade or so.
Yeah. And then the drought that was actually happening during the report period, 2015-16, that alone was estimated to cost agriculture somewhere between R2 and R4 billion.
Huge numbers. And that's not just abstract money, right? That's jobs, livelihoods.
Exactly. The report made it very clear. Being proactive, planning for climate change is simply less expensive than dealing with the aftermath. Way less expensive.
That R5 billion figure really sets the context for this interesting puzzle the report highlights. Energy use versus actual emissions. They aren't the same thing.
Not at all. And it's crucial to distinguish. So if you just look at who uses the most energy, it's transport.
Hey.
53% of total consumption. Big number.
Right. Cars, trucks. Makes sense.
But tap. If you look at who's responsible for the most greenhouse gas emissions, it flips. Industry takes the top spot with 38%.
How does that work? Why the difference?
It's mostly down to the source. Industry relies heavily on electricity from the national grid, which back then, and still largely now, comes from coal. Super carbon intensive.
Ah, I see. So even if transport uses more energy overall, the energy industry uses packs a much bigger carbon punch per unit.
You got it. It shows the limits of provincial action when you're plugged into a national energy system heavily based on fossil fuels.
Okay, last key area. The money. Where was the climate funding actually going back in 2015-16?
Well, the report found a pretty significant skew. Most of the finance was flowing towards mitigation projects.
Like emissions reduction.
Yeah, things like renewable energy installations, energy efficiency upgrades, often large infrastructure, easier to quantify, maybe easier to attract finance for.
And the adaptation side, building resilience.
That's where the gap was. Not nearly enough funding was going towards adaptation and resilience projects. It's often harder, you know. Funding a big solar plant is maybe more straightforward than funding, say, community-based rainwater harvesting or ecosystem restoration for flood control.
Even though those things are critical for protecting people from immediate impacts.
Absolutely critical, especially in a province facing such high disaster risk.
So wrapping this up for you listening. This first M&E report from 2015-16 was a really stark stocktake. It showed a province already footing a massive bill for climate impacts that R5 billion disaster cost, but struggling to get the funding lined up for adaptation, despite knowing the risks.
It really laid the groundwork. And if you think about it, globally, analyses like the Stern Review were warning climate change could chew up 5 to 20% of global GDP later this century. Huge economic stakes.
Which leads us to the final thought for you to consider. Given those massive potential costs, what kinds of new partnerships between government and citizens are actually needed right now to make sure the Western Cape's economy, its communities, its social fabric can weather the storms to come?
That kind of deep collaboration, that feels like the real challenge ahead, doesn't it? Building on what reports like this one started to show us.